All right, welcome to the 34 New Things to Say at the Seder. This is in Los Angeles, at least. This is the sixth year that we've done this at 34 things each year. That puts us, well, we haven't exactly done 34, but we'll say, I mean, over the years, you can find them online, past year's Divrei Torah. If you need over 300 Divrei Torah, we have it there. There's plenty to say. The Haggadah is one of those things called Hamar Belasaper Hareza Meshubach.
I like the Turkish Haggadah.
You got the Turkish one?
The Turkish one from last year.
The Ethiopian one we featured last year. Oh, the Turkish one also. So, Kol Amarva L'Saper Hareza Meshubach. The more you speak, the better it is. There's always new Divrei Torah when it comes to the Seder. So let's begin. As an introductory idea, I would say the following. And this comes from the Stachina Rebbe. The Stachina Rebbe, Rav Motel Zilber, says the following idea. He says, we know that the world was born in darkness. The world was tohu vavohu, totally dark before there was a world. We know that the creation of human beings were born in darkness. Man was just a clod of earth and put together. And he says that should also follow the birth of our nation, should come the same way. We should be born in darkness. And in fact, we were. The night of the Seder is at night. The Yetzias Mitzrayim is a night event. Most mitzvahs take place during the day. Even on Purim, many poskim say the main day to read the main part of the Megillah is the day Megillah. So much of our Judaism is practiced during the day, but the night is Pesach, because we were born at night. There's a line from the Zohar which says, "Laila k'yom ya'ir." That night shined like light, like day. There was such a powerful, that evening was so powerful because it was the moment we were born as a nation. So to introduce the Seder, as you welcome everyone to your Seder, and you welcome there that night. It's interesting. The Gemara in Pesachim uses the phrase, Or la'arba asar. When do you begin to do Bedikas Chametz? It calls it Or la'arba asar. What does that mean? It means the night of the 14th. Funny word, Or. Or means light. But it's the same idea. That in Pesach, we were born from the darkness. Our light came from the darkness, and that's how we begin. That's how we begin the Seder. It starts in the Choshech. It's going to end up into the light. Next, let's really begin the Seder, and we move on to Kadesh. So, this idea was from a new Haggadah that came out this year. It's not a new idea, but it's a new Haggadah. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, one of the greatest Hasidic Rebbes. So they collected his teachings and they put it into one Haggadah called Haggadah's Kedushas Levi. Right? The Haggadah of Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. And he starts talking about the Kiddush. Kiddush on Shabbos night is Asher Kichanu B'mitzvosav, which you have sanctified us and you have commanded us. On Yontif you say Asher Bachar Banu, you chose us. Why the change in language, right? The focus on Shabbos as Asher Kichanu, but the focus on Yontif night in the Kiddush is Asher Bachar Banu. Beautiful message from the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi says the difference is that Shabbos is not our choice. It happens whether we like it or not. It's out of our hands. But Yontif was something that had to be decided upon by human beings. The Beit Din had to meet and decide when the Yontif is going to be. Much of our practices at the Seder are things that we came up with. We decided they should be. Yontif, so much of the way it looks, is because of our involvement. The schedule on the calendar is supposed to vacillate when we have a regular Sanhedrin, because it's up to us to declare it. Says God, you chose to have a Yontif? Asher Bachar Banu, I'm going to choose you. Right? Just as you choose down below, I'm going to choose above. Right? You say, Kamayim Panim Alpanim. Like water, when you look into a water and your face responds to the face, so too God responds to us. We're making choices on Pesach, so too God back makes a choice as well. And
what
says,
kind of choices are we making?
What?
What kind of choices are we making?
Well, first of all, the family minhagim and what you're going to be raising at the Seder. I saw the Ger Rebbe says in terms of karpas, he starts bringing out strawberries and other fruits. From how you vary your Seder. I'll throw in a Dvar Torah I wasn't going to say, but Danny prompted me beautifully. Some people have a Seder till 3 in the morning. But you look in the Haggadah, and it has a summary of the Makos, Datzach Adash Be'achav. Very short. Right? Some people make sure to get everything in before midnight. Chatzos. Don't worry, we're not going to schlep. Right? You keep it, get it right in. Some people go all the way. One guy asked me to make davening later, the next morning. So that's a choice. The choice is, the Haggadah is supposed to be you aware of who's at your Seder. And you have to understand that different strokes for different folks. The yontif experience, even the definition of chatzi l'Hashem, chatzi l'chem, how much is celebrated with yontif, dancing and davening, and how much is with celebration and food and simcha and l'chaim, those are your choices on Pesach. Those are your choices on the yontif. So that's what Levi Yitzchak Berditchev says as far as the idea of Kaddish. Let's move on now to Halach Ma'anya, one of everybody's favorite parts of the Haggadah, because it's still early, people are not tired yet from your Divrei Torah, so it's the first real point you get to show off what you know or don't know. So we say Halach Ma'anya, right? Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol. It's an Aramaic phrase, whoever is hungry, come and eat. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Halach Ma'anya. I took your table. Okay. All right, Nunu.
Sorry about that.
Is my silver or silver? Halach Ma'anya, right? The poor man's bread. So let me ask you the following question. Why is this here at the Seder? The Seder has already begun. It's already underway. Famous question. Why are we talking about this now, once it's too late to invite guests? Whoever's hungry, come and eat. So I saw an answer from Rav Yoshev. They put out a few versions of Rav Yoshev's Haggadah. Rav Yoshev, one of the greatest poskim of the last 100 years. So Rav Yoshev says like this. The whole purpose of the Seder is to pass on the legacy of Judaism. Whether to teach your children, whether to teach yourselves, whether to teach each other, whether to share with those who are there at your Seder. To teach about the legacy and the Mesorah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says Rav Yoshev in a great line. Rav Yoshev says, there is no Mesorah in Judaism, there is no legacy in Judaism without first teaching those at your Seder the power of Hachnasas Orchim, the power of inviting people. So even though technically speaking, yeah, the guests who are there are already there. But Rav Yoshev says, if the whole purpose of the night is education, if the whole purpose of the night is a Mesorah, if the whole purpose of the night is to teach what are the essentials of our leaving Egypt, Rav Yoshev says, we only became a nation if we're going to be good to each other. There's no value in us becoming a people, in us achieving nationhood, if we can't take care of one another, if we can't be there for other people at that point in time. Which I think is a powerful idea, very pertinent now, as so many issues come up in terms of caring for other people. Even politically, how much should a Jew care about another person? Should a Jew care about immigration issues or refugee issues? So without getting into specifics or details, you at least not caring on some level goes against the very essence of what it means to be a nation of Jews. Halach Ma'anya, right? Starts off with that idea of Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol. The Haggadah begins, whoever is hungry, come and eat. I got a new sefer this year called the Lahabas Eish. The Lahabas Eish by Rav Avram Chaim Foyer. He was a major Talmud of Rav Gifter. He has a radical chiddush on Halach Ma'anya, right? Halach Ma'anya is Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechol. Whoever's hungry, come and eat. Door's already closed. Who are you inviting? Okay? Famous question. This is his thesis. It's a chiddush. I've never seen it anywhere else. It's a massive chiddush. And this is what he says. There's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Nagu Shabalabayis Mevarech Birkas Hamazon Baleil Pesach. The minig is the head of the household leads the benching on Pesach night. Why? Because tov ayin hu yivarech. The one who is of generous eye, he should bless. And he's considered generous because he said, kol dichvin yeseh v'yechol. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Now, usually throughout the year, at a Shabbos table, the head of the household dishes out the benching to the other person. Here, he takes it. It's as though he's a guest in his own home. It's as though he's getting the honor to be able to say the benching, which he usually gives away. Says the Lahabas Eish. You know who you're inviting once the door is closed? I saved you, Sita. Who are you inviting once the door is closed? You're inviting God to take over your Seder. God becomes the Balabast. And who is God choosing to be able to lead the benching? Hashem is turning and say, this is a home. This is a Jewish home. You've made sure that it's done kedas and kedin with bounty and with bracha and with shefa and with abundance. Why don't you lead the benching? I mechabed you at the benching. God is turning to you as the balabayas and asking you to bench. So the whole chiddush of kol dichvin yesev yechol, whoever's hungry, come and eat. It's talking God, asking God, I know you're hungry to see what us Jews are up to. Come and join us at our meal. That's what it means, kol dichvin yesev yechol. You're inviting God to the Seder to take over your meal. You're inviting God. It's a radical chiddush from the Sefer Lahabas Eish.
What's his name?
His name is Rav Avram Chaim Feuer. He's not even a chassid who said it. By the way, I put this online today. I sent an email about the shiur tonight, and I got a response from a rabbi in New Jersey, Teaneck, New Jersey, Rabbi Baum, who I love, from the Romer Shul. So Rabbi Baum turned to me and said, send me the recording afterwards, please. I'll give you one in exchange right now. And he had a great chiddush. Also on Halach Ma'anya, right? On Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. Whoever's hungry, come and eat. So he quoted to me the Ra'avan. Ra'avan's an older commentary. The Ra'avan says, you're inviting to the table your family members. Let's begin, right? That's who it's referring to. Come, let's start. You know, come. So this was Rabbi Baum's twist on the Ra'avan. He said, what it's teaching you at the Pesach Seder, there's a value in re-knowing the people we already know. On Pesach night, it's stressing, it's time for you to re-meet the people you already know the whole year round. You've taken them for granted. You haven't noticed them. You haven't spoken to them in a deep way. You've ignored those around you. Talking to the people in your own home. Come, join. Let's sit down and have a conversation. I know I've been busy with work. I know I've been busy here, there, ignoring, not talking to you. Kol dichvin yesev yechol. Come, let's sit together and let's have a conversation. That's a beautiful, beautiful chiddush. Talk to Shmuley.
You have to sit with your family.
You have to sit with your family for a little bit. Okay. We're about to begin the Maggid to tell the story. And the question is, why do we have a Haggadah on Pesach, but we don't have a Haggadah on Sukkot? We don't have a Haggadah on any other Jewish holiday. It's only on Pesach. I found this in a ripped Haggadah 7 months ago. I wrote it down. I don't know who it's from. It was some ripped Haggadah that I found by a Seamus box. And I wrote this down. If anybody can tell me who the author is, great. I appreciate it. It says like this. Our oppression in Egypt was so oppressive and horrific, obliterated our identity. We had nothing anymore. We came in as a proud sons of tribes, and we left as basically servants, people who didn't have their own schedule, their own time. Now, we know the after effects for many people after the Shoah. They refuse to talk about that event. They refuse to talk about it. There's almost no books on the Shoah for 10 years after the Shoah. There's very little literature. Because Jews were sort of paralyzed in time. They didn't want to speak about it. And it took time for people to get used to talking about it. So in this nameless, next to Seamus, ripped Haggadah, he says, the Baal Haggadah and Chazal did not want the Jewish people to pretend this never happened. They didn't want them to bury this into our subconscious, buried into the recesses of our psyche, that this event of what happened to us, stripping away Jewish freedom after we came to bring something beautiful to the host nation, we didn't want our people to ever forget this happened. So they mandated a discussion after Pesach, after we came out from Mitzrayim. Thought that was a fascinating idea on a nameless Dvar Torah. Nameless Dvar Torah. New Haggadah I got this year is the Leil Shimurim Haggadah from the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan is known for it's a magnificent halakhic commentary. So I thought when I bought it, I would get a collection of the Orach HaShulchan's halachos. I was in for a real surprise. There were amazing nuggets that were gathered from different writings of the Orach HaShulchan that were primarily non-halakhic in nature. And I'll share with you this idea. Great question. Why isn't the four cups of wine mentioned in the Manishana? Right? How is this night different? All of the nights we sit there, recline, not recline. All the nights we're dipping, we're not dipping, we're dipping vegetables. The Manishana left out one of the key features that's so different about Pesach night. Didn't mention a word about it. What was one of the four questions? The four questions should have been, why isn't the four cups of wine mentioned in the four questions? So, why do we have four cups of wine? So the most famous opinion for why we have the four cups of wine is the Dalid Lishonos Shel Geula, the four expressions of redemption in the Torah. God says, I'll take you out. I lakachti eschem li la'am. I brought you to me as a nation, so on and so forth. All those four languages are where we got the four cups from. But there's opinion in the Yerushalmi of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the four cups are the four times it mentions the four cups of Paro. Where was that? We know that the butler of Paro, who was in charge of his wine, the cupbearer, messed up and gave him a cup with a fly in it. So in that whole section in Vayeshev, it says four times that the cup of Paro, the cup of Paro. So we just spent Shabbos with Rabbi J.J. Schachter. Rabbi J.J. Schachter, that's a strange reason for the four cups of wine. Why are we commemorating Paro? Why are we commemorating that incident? Let's commemorate the Jews. Let's commemorate something great on Pesach night. What are we commemorating Paro? Awesome, awesome chiddush from the Orech HaShulchan. Orech HaShulchan says this whole story of the baker and the cupbearer in prison with Yosef is all one big mess. Why is it a big mess? Because why did Paro bring back? Why did he bring back the guy who had the cup, who put the fly in his cup? Right? Isn't that worse than what the baker did? The baker has a fly by accident buried when he was cooking. A fly got in the challah, whatever it was. This is worse. He's putting mamish in his hand. Look and see, there's a fly in there. Wasn't that a worse trespass? Yet the cup guy makes it, and the baker gets the axe. So it should be the opposite. Orech Laner, I'm going to cut down his whole Dvar Torah, the Orech HaShulchan, and he says the following words. Lachein libi omer li. When someone says that, it means they don't have a proof, but they feel the answer. I'll say that again. Lachein libi omer li. My heart tells me. You know what really happened here? This you could use on the Parsha. This is amazing. These two guys hated each other. He says, my heart tells me they each tried to mess each other over.
The baker and the butler.
The baker planted the fly in the cup, and the butler planted the schmutz in the challah. They each try to mess each other over. That's what they did wrong. So now, who's the worst guy? The worst guy now is the baker, because it's because of him, the king has to, Paro has to look at a fly. They each tried to turn against each other. Is that not the story of Yosef and his brothers? The story of Yosef and his brothers is how brother turned against brother. They should have been working together, and they didn't work together. They didn't work together. They should have been helping each other. And that's how we got into Mitzrayim, because they turned on Yosef and they stuck him in a pit. Now we know why we drink four cups of wine. It's to remind us that we got into Mitzrayim because of Sinas Chinam. Now we know why the children aren't singing about it in the Manishtana. Everything in the Manishtana is beautiful and fun and nice and celebratory and king-like and regal. The essence of those four cups of wine, according to the Orech HaShulchan, the essence of the four cups of wine is actually the negative. It's to commemorate the sinas chinam of the brothers. That goes against everything we've ever learned in school, in yeshiva, in day school about the four cups of wine. But that's what the Orech HaShulchan says. The four cups of wine actually come from a negative place, and that's why we don't use it in the Manishtana. Next, there's a weekly Parsha sheet that comes out called the Madane Asher. Madane Asher is random facts about the Parsha. So I got one of them on Vayelech, and I saved the clipping because it had a great trivia question in the back. Here's the trivia question. When shofar falls out, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar, right? It's canceled. When Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we don't shake the lulav, it's canceled. Purim falls out on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah, it's canceled. You know what the reason is by all of them? Because you may come to carry your item to a professional to figure out how to do it. You may take the shofar and carry it. You may take the Megillah and carry it. So on and so forth. So says the Madane Asher. Wait a second. So why not cancel matzah on Shabbos? Cancel matzah on Shabbos. You're going to go to an expert on how to properly do the matzah. The same problem. So his first answer, which he rejects, is that because the chiyuv of matzah is basically a kazayah, which is less than the required amount that's prohibited to carry on Shabbos. Right? Carrying on Shabbos, it's koseves hagasa. It's larger. And therefore, since you're below the amount, they weren't concerned. He gets rid of that answer, because anytime you think something is important to you, even if it's small, that's already carrying in Shabbos, even if it's below the number. So he tries a different answer, which is fabulous and logical. He says, the Megillah is meant to be read in Shul, in the public. The Lulav is meant to be celebrated with everybody in Shul. The Shofar is meant to be blown in Shul. The matzah is you with your family at home, reclining, sitting intimately. You're not taking that matzah anywhere. When's the last time you saw someone holding matzah over their shoulder in the street? Matzah is meant to be home, and therefore no gzera of caring was ever applied, was ever made by matzah. Okay, next one, Dvar Torah number 8. Dvar Torah number 8. This one I would put with Avadim Hayinu in the Haggadah. Also a good point where people talk and where people share Divrei Torah. Avadim Hayinu. We were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. This comes from the Haggadah Yege Chachma by Rav Yosef Yitzchak Feigelstock, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Masifta of Long Beach in New York. You know him? He's not well. Refuah Shleima. All right, this Dvar Torah should be in his honor. He's Feigelstock from Chartville's uncle. Uncle. Wow. Who knew? See? It all comes together now. All right. So, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Feigelstock. I can't see. Rav Yosef Yitzchak Feigelstock says the following idea. How did the Shibud in Mitzrayim start? It started with Vayakam Melech Chadash, and a new king arose. The Pasuk expresses three fears of what he went through at that moment. Fear number one, oh no, they're going to grow to be too many. Number two, they're going to hate us. Number three, they're going to pack up and leave. All three are crazy. You know how big Egypt was? You know how many people were living there? We got to assume were there prior to the Jews coming. Remember, their numbers only multiplied extensively when they were hit, when they were dealt with. Number two, they're going to hate us. You know the reason we hated the Egyptians before the slavery? We have no reason ever documented. There is no evidence the Jews hated the Egyptians before the slavery began. So the first two reasons are illogical. The third, they're going to pack up and leave. Well, if they hate you and they're going to leave and they're going to outgrow, what do you care anyways? So all three reasons have no basis in logic. So then what bothered him so much? He couldn't stand the fact that the Jews should be their own people. The Jews should have their own nation. When I saw this Dvar Torah, I thought, wow, this is so contemporary. How many people love Jews? They'll say, my best friend is a Jew. But once you talk about a Jewish identity, a Jewish national identity, all of a sudden, oh, that's racist. All of a sudden, there's no right for it. There's no place for it. Jews who had a national identity out of Israel were considered disloyal. Jews who have a national identity in Israel are considered racist and apartheid. So it's a fabulous, it's a very contemporary thought. What was bothering Paro so much? They're going to grow too much? That couldn't have been bigger. The Egyptians got a big head start on these Jews. They only came in as 70. They're going to hate us? You don't know what they hate you about. It doesn't say what they hated you. And they're going to leave? So let them leave. What are you worried about? If you need them, you'll make it good by them. If you don't need them, let them go. Rather, it's the thought that the Jews are to become their own people, their own nation, sickened Paro. And therefore, that he could not tolerate. One of my favorite pre-Pesach Seder shirim online that you can hear is Rabbi Eitan Feiner. Rabbi Eitan Feiner of, I think, the White Shul. I think it's the White Shul in New York. Big Talmud Chacham. What?
That's racist.
The White Shul is called the White Shul. Go ahead. Go ahead. So, Rabbi Eitan Feiner says the following idea. Farakwe. What do we mean by Seder? What does Seder mean? So Seder means order. The Maharal in many places says, just like there's an order to nature, there's an order to the way God does the miracles too. The miracles are not happenstance. They happen with purpose, and they happen with an order, and they happen with a plan. They all happen for a reason. So this is what Rav Eitan Feiner said. Rav Eitan Feiner said, the way we normally see the Pesach story is Paro gets a bug in his head to do X to the Jews, and suddenly God intervenes and stops it. Says Rabbi Eitan Feiner, no. Every step of the way was part of God's plan for the Jewish people. Every step of the way was what God had in mind for the development of our people. From point A to point Z. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger has that same idea on another Gemara. This is just beautiful. Listen to this. The Gemara in Bracha 61b says that when the angels saw how Rabbi Akiva's life was coming to an end, the great Rabbi Akiva was having his skin flayed, the angels turned to God and said, God, Zu Torah v'zu scharo? This is the Torah and this is its reward? God says, keep quiet because I'm going to have to turn the world, if I have to give you the answer, I'm going to turn the world, I'll turn you into tohu vavohu. I'll turn the world upside down and end the world, flip it over. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger says, They were just defending your Rabbi Akiva. What are you getting mad at them? What are you telling them? I'm going to have to destroy you if you ask that question. They were defending your people. They were defending Rabbi Akiva. They were defending your sacred one. Listen to this thought. Oh, such an amazing thought. What he was telling the angels, if you don't understand why this is, if you don't understand why this is happening, I'm going to have to rewind the tape of history all the way to the beginning when it was Tohu Vavohu. So you could see step by step how my plan was laid out from beginning to end. Everything is for a reason. He wasn't threatening the angels. He was telling the angels, if you really want to know, you're asking me to go back to the stage of Tohu Vavohu, because everything has a Seder. Everything has an order. The miracles, Pesach night, why we're here today, and why we're still around. Yachatz, we break the middle matzah. Yachatz, we break the middle matzah. So I saw this from the Vishnitzer Rebbe. The Vishnitzer Rebbe came to town this year, and the Gabayim brought a box of treats from Vishnitz, Svarim of all types. And one of them was a Haggadah. So here's one Dvar Torah from the Tzama Nafshi Haggadah by Vishnitz. Here it is. You quote the Tzama Nafshi Haggadah at your Seder. This always goes over well. You'll be the star of your Seder if you bring out the Tzama Nafshi. I guarantee you no one has it at your Seder. So, Yachatz, we break the matzah and we begin to magit, to tell the story. The telling of the story, says the Arizal, is embedded in the name of Pesach. What does Pesach mean? Pesach means Pe-Sach, the mouth that talks. Break the word in half. Pe-Sach, the mouth that talks. On Pesach night, we have a certain ability to explain to others, to our children, to anybody, about the story of the Exodus. Pesach, right? That's the Arizal. That's a famous idea. But here is what the Vishnitzer Rebbe added to that famous Dvar Torah. He says, what does it mean in Pesach is Pesach? What does it mean that it's in there? That it's in the word? You just break up the word and it's there? He found something amazing in the word Pesach. In Gematria, there's something called Miloy. Miloy is where you spell out every letter. So instead of just Pei, Samech, Chet, spell out Pei. Pei is Pei, Hei. Samech is Samech Mem Kaf, Chet is Chet Taf. So, right? That's the Miloy. The Vishnitzer Rebbe realized that when you open up Pesach, when you open up Pesach and you spell it B'Miloy, it's Gematria Torah. It's the same Gematria as Torah. It's unbelievable. Pesach, the mouth, when the mouth learns how to speak on Pesach night, it finally has figured out how to speak words of Torah, the greatest teachings of the Jewish people. It's the quintessential night of teaching Torah. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Pesach night. It's in the Pesach. It's in the word Pesach itself is the idea of being able to share. I always get journals, right? They send the rabbi journals from all over the place, and you have the envelope in there, you send back a check. So it's the Hamaor journal I got. In there is an article. This is April 2012, volume 65. It's an article by Rav Yosef Chaim Abuchatzera of Afula. Of Afula. One of the cousins or brothers, I don't know. Someone from the Abuchatzera family will have to explain to me. Which Abuchatzera it is, the one from Afula. So listen to what he says. He says, when the rabbis were sitting around in Bnei Brak, so there's a famous question, what was Rabbi Eliezer doing at the Seder? Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, Bnei Brak is in Shevet Dan. It's in the area of Dan, according to Yeshua. Lud, which was the home of Rebbe Eliezer, was a day away. Why can't he leave? Let him go on vacation. Can't go to Pesach programs? Why can't Rebbe Eliezer go to Pesach? What's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with it. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Rebbe Eliezer says, Meshabeach ani et ha'atzlanim. I praise the lazy ones who stay home on Yontif. I praise the lazy ones who stay home on Yontif. So, he is the one himself who was anti the Pesach programs. And here he is in Bnei Brak, leaving where he is. What was he doing?
Why did he praise them?
What?
Why did he praise the one to stay home?
He said it's a good thing to be in your bias, right? My guess would be like Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says, Se lebeit avot. The whole idea of Korban Pesach and Pesach was defined by the family house structure. So we don't have to take that literally. Those who go away understand it as, I am with the family, just somewhere else. Rav Hirsch understood it as where I'm most comfortable, where I'm used to, whatever it is. But Rabbi Eliezer himself, though, the kasha's on him. How is he allowed to leave to go to Bnei Brak? So says Rav Yosef Chaim Abu Chatzera, a very Abu Chatzera Dvar Torah. He says that we know the Satan has the ability to impact the Jewish people every single night of the year. There's only one night of the year that's free of the Satan. Do not answer Pesach. What night is it? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the only night the Satan has no shlita over us. We know in history this was a very precarious time for the Jewish people. Some big stuff needed to happen. That's why there's so many beautiful historical Divrei Torah on them sitting around in Bnei Brak. They were the leaders of the community, they were politicians as well. Fine, all of that. He needed a miracle to happen here, Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer needed big stuff to happen for the Jewish people at this point. But he knew that on Pesach night, he's also going up against the Satan. He's also going up against the Yetzirah. He's also going up against the dark side. How do you fight the dark side? You need to find its place of weakness. Says Rav Abuchatzera, what's its place of weakness? Is Bnei Brak. Why? What is the gematria of Bnei Brak? So the gematria of Bnei... I never knew this before. Well, you heard of Bnei Brak so many times. I've heard of this. Bnei Brak in gematria is 364, which is also the gematria of Hasatan, 364. So if anybody asks you on a game show, what's the one day a year that the Satan cannot affect you? It's Yom Kippur. But what's the one place in the world where the Satan has absolutely no shlita, according to this Dvar Torah? He should move from Afula. He should go to Bnei Brak.
Why? What? If it's the same gematria, does it mean that
they counteract each other?
Is that Bnei Brak?
The energies counteract each other, right? We would take it to Bnei Brak.
That's right.
It works for you, right? That works for the other discussion we had about, you know what I'm talking about. Yes? Yeah.
Why wouldn't
That's beautiful. He wanted to give Rabbi Gamliel his own covet, his own sense. Beautiful. Love it. That ties beautifully. That's a good one. Gotta use it for next year. It's great. Okay.
We added a
vort, but I'm not letting it out loud. I'm gonna use it for next year for 31. It's beautiful. It's actually very beautiful. Okay. Next idea. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is God. Right? Blessed is the place, blessed is He. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. So, this idea was from a Haggadah, right? Rav Chaim Palagi. Rav Chaim Palagi is a Turkish Gaon, a massive Talmud Chacham. All his Sfarim are being reprinted one by one. Rav Chaim Palagi said the following idea, right? Listen to this. We know that everybody questions why is the mitzvah on Pesach night of retelling the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night. Why is that a special mitzvah? We have a mitzvah every day, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every time you say Shema, you're supposed to remember Egypt. You kiss a mezuzah, you remember Egypt. Almost every mitzvah comes back to Egypt, comes back to Mitzrayim. So what was different about this mitzvah? What was different about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's a famous question. Rav Chaim Brisker deals with it, 4 or 5 different answers. But Rav Chaim Palagi gives his own answer. He says, the question does not even begin. The question does not even get off the ground. V'li nira, de'ein tzarich lechalik b'neihem. There's no need to distinguish between the two of them. You know why? Because what is Sipur? You know what Sipur means? Sipur is not a commemoration. Commemoration is when you remember something. You know what Sipur is? Sipur is to live, is to reenact, is to feel like you're a part of, to feel like you're living it once again, to taste it, to sense it, to be actually there on the field. Right? Sometimes they have these reenactments, the Civil War reenactments. You can only remember what happened. You can't fully experience what took place. Says Rav Chaim Palagi, that's what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is. On this night, you're not just remembering something in Jewish history, it's time for you to live it in Jewish history. Next idea. I found this on HebrewBooks.org. I was looking for the most off the beaten path Haggadahs they have. They have one they just put up from Rav Moshe Zelig Olshanitsky. Rav Moshe Zelig Olshanitsky from Warsaw, Poland, 1894. Okay, 1894, in his Haggadah called Geffen Mimitzrayim, Wine from Egypt. Wine from Egypt. It's quite a small Haggadah. It's 71 pages. And this little gem is in there. Yes?
What's it called again?
Geffen Mimitzrayim. This is nice and simple. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanatan Torah Li Yisrael Baruch Hu. Right? Blessed is the place, blessed is God. Blessed is the one who gave Torah to his people and to Yisrael. Blessed is he. And he says like this. You do not interrupt between this song. You read it straight. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Because the Makom is not a place. The Makom is God. Keep reading, he says. Don't stop. Keep reading. Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. Why? Because God and the people are one. The line must stay together. You cannot break it up. The minute you break it up, you lose the whole value. You know, why this is a significant Dvar Torah to me is it illustrates the important role the Jewish people have in the identity of monotheism. Right? Just celebrate God. Why did you make a big deal about the Jewish people? This Dvar Torah is saying the message of God does not get out into the universe without a Jewish people. Right? It's like L'Habdil Thomas Cahill's book, The Gift of the Jews. Without the Jews, God does not spread into the world, does not come out into the universe. And the Jews without God is also lacking and cannot survive. So says the Geffen Mimitzrayim, you need to read the whole sentence. Don't stop. Asur lahafsik. It's forbidden to interrupt this line. Baruch hamakom baruch hu. Baruch shenatan Torah le'amo Yisrael. He says, read it in one breath, like the Megillah. When you read La'avdil, the names of Haman, in one breath, he says, re-sing this line together. Because a Jew has to remember, and you think of when he was writing this in Poland, 1894. At this point already, 70% of Jews were secularized. It was gone. The Jewish identity was vanishing, certainly in Warsaw, Poland. And he's sitting there and saying, we're going to need to work together. God and the people, both of them are necessary for each other. We cannot survive any other way. That's the Geffen Mimitzrayim. Those who know me know one of my favorite Rebbes. My Rebbele is the Koidnover Rebbe. Right? The Koidnover Rebbe who comes to LA from time to time, was here a couple years ago. They just put out the Koidnover Haggadah. You got to get it. Beautiful Haggadah. The Koidnover Haggadah. This one's for Stefan. Stefan loves Koidnover. No? This is on the She'ena Yodea Lishol, the one who does not know how to ask. We're up to the Arba Banim, the four children. The one who does not know how to ask, At Petachlo, you open for him. I don't know why nobody has said this yet. It seems like it should have been said 1,000 times, and I haven't seen it. It seems like one of those I should have been teaching in school. What does it mean, She'ena Yodea Lishol? He says, Shamati, I heard. I don't know who you're from. Shamati. She'eino yodea, he doesn't know heich lishol ulavakesh ma'kadosh baruch hu. He doesn't know how to ask from God. He doesn't know how to daven. It's the person who doesn't know how to daven, how to feel anything, how to open up before Hashem and ask for what they truly need. That's the she'eino yodea lishol. It's not he doesn't know how to ask a question. Anybody could figure out how to construct a question. He doesn't know how to ask from God what he needs. So then following that, says the Koidnover, what's At Petachlo? God, you answer him. Only you can open his mouth. At Petachlo, you open for him. You give him the ability to express himself. It's a dialogue. It's an unbelievable Dvar Torah, because there's many Dvar Torahs like this that refer to the Seder as a dialogue between us and God. For example, the part in the Seder where it says that here the son asks, Kan HaBen Shoel. Very famous Dvar Torah, Lubavitcher Rebbe has said it and others, it's referring to us. Now we turn to God and we ask. So carrying that Dvar Torah forward to this, you have a nice extension. The She'ena Yodea Lishol is the one who does not know how to ask of God, doesn't know how to turn to God. At Petachlo, you, oh God, please help him find the words, right? Help him find the way to express himself and ask what it is exactly he needs to say. What are the things he needs to say? He brings a little story afterwards, how the Arizal says, anybody who's having a tough time davening, just say the Aleph Bet. Just say the Aleph Bet. There's a famous story on Rosh Hashanah, Hasidic story, a mashal of the sound of the shofar. What's the sound of the shofar? The sound of the shofar is the cry when you just don't know the words anymore. You don't know how to say it anymore. You don't know the words. So the Arizal says, if you don't know how to daven, just say the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph through Tav. Says the Koidnover Rebbe, that could be At Petachlo. At. What's At? Aleph Tuf. Just God, just give him something. Give him the basics. Give him your letters. Let him have access to the holy forces, the power that's inherent in your Hebrew letters. And that has to be good enough. That has to be enough. Next Vartar from Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef has so much Torah written. There is so much that buried among all of his writings, there is tons of Torah waiting to be applied to the Haggadah. Here is an idea from Rav Avadya Yosef that is in a tshuva, a letter he has, in the 8th volume of his letters on a random subject, but it's perfect for the Seder. It's on the Chacham. It's on the Chacham. This is wonderful. This is such a wonderful idea. This, if you walk away with one Dvar Torah tonight, take this one with you. Chacham Mahu Omer. What does the Chacham say? Maha Eidus Vachukim and Mishpatim. What are all these laws? The Rasha, what does he say? Maha Avodah. What is this service? So he says, what's the difference in their language? He says, this is the difference. He says, imagine two people come to a new city for the first time. A Chacham and a Rasha. The Chacham, when he wants to move to the city, the first questions he asks, is there a shul here? Is there a Rav in town? Is there kosher here? Is there a mikvah? He asks all the questions that need to be asked. What does the Rasha ask when he comes to town? How am I, what's the money like over here? Right? What's the money over here? What's the deal? What kind of deal can I make when I come to town? So what's the avoda? What's the work I could do when I get here? So says Rav Avadya Yosef, the Chacham's asking, what are the different statutes? What can I find over here? Do I find something of value? What are the mitzvahs that are here? What are behind it? Give me the explanation. What's ma'avodah zot lachem? Ma'avodah zot lachem is, the Rasha wants to know, okay, what's the business with all this here? What can you do for me lately? What am I going to gain from all this stuff? Am I going to become more successful if I do these mitzvahs? What's the avoda? What am I going to get from all this stuff that you all are doing here? And that's the difference in the question between the tzaddik, the chacham, and the Rasha. It's the way two people approach coming to a city. The last of our Torah I had seen timeline-wise. This was at the end of the clock today. I put on Facebook. If anybody has, I always leave one empty and allow social media canvassing. There's a word for that. Crowdsourcing, sorry. Social media canvassing. There's crowdsourcing, right? So I put it out there. Whoever's got a last second Hail Mary, I shouldn't say that here. Whoever's got a last second Dvar Torah, let me know if you got that Dvar Torah. So someone on Facebook had sent me from Rav Yaakov Fisher's Haggadah. I didn't like the Dvar Torah, but I saw the next Dvar Torah in the Haggadah because I have the Sefer at home. So I saw the next Dvar Torah in the Haggadah, and that was amazing. What I mean by I didn't like it was it's going to take too long to explain here with salad and noodles. So it's simple. The next Dvar Torah afterwards in the Rav Yaakov Fisher Haggadah. By the Rasha, it says Rav Yaakov Fisher is the great Dayan. He's a Dayan. If I knew his, Rav Yaakov Fisher was a major Rosh Yeshiva in Israel, the Itri Yeshiva. His brother was the head of the Eid HaKharedis. He was not totally different Hashkafa. So he has the Evan Yisrael Haggadah. Rav Yaakov Fisher says, why he probably has a wiki page, by the way. Why does it, that's how big it is. Why does it say, Hake et Shinov by the Rasha? Right? Hit his teeth. Blunt his teeth. Hake et Shinov. That line drives everybody crazy. So if one learns Mishnayot, the Mishnayot about Negayim, leprosy, the word to cleanse out from leprosy in the second chapter in Negayim is Hake. Hake is to spit it out and to be tahor. To throw up, by the way, is to Hake. Is to hack it up. Is haket. That's what it means. It means to clean out. It clean out. In rabbinic literature, haket means to purge and clean out. Why? What does it mean, clean out then, the shinov of the Russia? Clean out the shinov of the Russia. Says Rav Yaakov Fisher, I tried it. I tried to clean out the shinov from the Russia. You know what I did? I took the gematria of the word Russia and I deducted the gematria of shinov. I cleaned it out. I was haket the shinov. You know what I was left with? This is a great Dvar Torah. This is a great gematria. I was left with tzaddik. You're left with tzaddik. If you take the Rasha and you hake and you throw out his shinav, not his teeth. You throw out his shinav. You hake the shinav. Get rid of shinav from the Rasha. You blunt his chutzpah, whatever you want to spin it. You blunt that out of him. You're left with a tzaddik. Meaning, in every Rasha, there's really a tzaddik waiting to be discovered. That's essentially what he's saying. That's ultimately what he's telling you over here in this Dvar Torah. There was an email that went around Pesach last year.
The numbers of the gematrias?
What?
You have the numbers there or no?
Yeah, Russia is 200 and 300 is 570. Are you going to call me on it? Uh-oh. Let's go for it. Let's go. Call me. I'm ready for it. 570 minus Shinav. Shin minus 350 minus 366. What do we got? Tzaddik. Okay. So now. I love it when the calculator app doesn't come up so quickly. Okay. Next Dvar Torah. This one, there was an email that went out last year of someone wrote a collection of Divrei Torah he found in the Haggadah. So I don't know who this is from within this guy's email. So in my notes, I call it random Haggadah email. So here's a Dvar Torah from the I don't know how you quote it at the Pesach Seder. You got to give it a name. The random... the randomer. The randomers. Go ahead. So from the random...
This is different than the randomer for the Seamus that we found.
That's the Seamuser. This is the randomer. So the randomer says, right, it says, Yachol miRosh Chodesh. I would think the Yetzias Mitzrayim would have happened from Rosh Chodesh, and it didn't. But the Haggadah says, Yachol miRosh Chodesh. I would have thought from Rosh Chodesh. Says the randomer beautifully. What's Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is the power of renewal. It's the power to start over. It's the power for the Jew to say, when I've been knocked down, I can get back up. When one door closes, I find another one that opens. He says Rosh Chodesh is the essence of a Jew. The Rosh Chodesh is the essence of our legacy. When the Haggadah says, Yachol miRosh Chodesh, I would have thought they should have came out on Rosh Chodesh. I would have thought they should have came out on Rosh Chodesh. The Haggadah means I would have thought that message would have been the winning message. But why not? The answer is why not? He says because they came out in the middle of the month. The middle of the month is when the moon is strong and vibrant and vital. And that became the ultimate message of Pesach. You thought we were crushed? You thought we were finished? You thought we have nothing left? No. Our best story was just about to be written. Our best story was just about to emerge. We came out in the full moon. We came out, as to tie it to the Zohar from the beginning that I said, Laila Kayom Ya'ir. The night shines like the light on this time when we come out. Next. 19th century Frankfurt. Great Haggadah. I found it in a museum years ago. And I put this Dvar Torah in a note, and I hadn't used it yet because it was buried in a note that I had. And it's from Rav Tuvela Bondi. Frankfurt 19th century Haggadah. You can check on HebrewBooks.org. I'm not sure if they've since put it online. So his Dvar Torah is as follows. What does it mean, Vayered Mitzrayimah? And we went down to Mitzrayim. Onis al pi dibur. Forced or without speech. What does that mean? That's the part of the gutter when people start dipping. So you're gonna need something there. You're gonna need to bring in the reinforcements then. What does it mean they went down to Egypt? Onis al pi dibor. You know what it means? It means that Yosef tried to speak up. He tried to tell his brothers. He tried to tell his father, they want to kill me. He tried to come back and they shut down his dibor. They forced his mouth. How'd we get down to Mitzrayim? Onis al pi dibor, when we had no choice. You understand? The onis al pi dibor is the Yosef story. What's the mida keneged mida? That Yaakov, who never wanted to be again in his life back in Egypt, had no choice. When he found out his son was leading Egypt, he had to end up in Egypt. That's the onis. It's so beautiful. So it says, V'yored Mitzrayim, we went down to Egypt, onis al pi dibor. Forced by the mouth. What forced by the mouth? It's twofold. It's Yosef tried to speak up to his brothers. He tried to say something. And they quashed his voice. And then it came back around full circle when Yaakov had to pay the price. When he had to end up. He never dreamed. The irony. He never dreamed he'd be in Egypt. And here he is. He avoided Egypt. He was building up Israel. And here he is. He's got to come down to revisit his son one more time and find him in Egypt. That's the onus. That's the onus al pi dibor that it's referring to. Okay, then the Haggadah goes through all these combinations of makos. All these different combinations of makos. You get the, right, it says in the middle, it says that on the water there were 50, no, there were 40, there were 100. What is the deal with all these this really is when you're starting to think about what's that good smell from the kitchen. The mind is really, the person is really wandering here. So you really got to give them a zinger at this point in the Haggadah. So I thought this was a lovely idea. As a YU student, it's a minute to quote something one year from a non-Judaic source. So this comes from physicist David Bohm, one of the greatest physicists in the world, David Bohm. He says, the action of learning is the essence of real perception. In that sense, without it, a person is unable to see in any new situation what is fact and what is not. You need to have perception. But real perception that is capable of seeing something new and unfamiliar requires that one be attentive, alert, aware, and sensitive. Catch all the details, notice everything, smell all the colors, feel all that is meant to be felt. I think that's the pshat in why the Haggadah is going through all this with the different makas. It's not enough just to know there were some plagues there. The Haggadah is taking you on a journey where awareness is paramount. Hakara, you must be aware. You must be cognizant. You cannot go to sleep now. You must be up. You must hear this story. You must hear this message. You must experience everything. Don't fall asleep. Don't lose the moment. So you're going through all the details of how this worked. It nothing left to some amorphous blob. Where they're 5, where they're 10. Let's discuss. What do the makas look like? It forces you, ideally, into a conversation about the nature of the plagues. It forces you to analyze and look into the midrashim behind what these plagues look like. It forces you to be cognizant and aware. You know, the Arizal says that in Mitzrayim, Das went into Galus. Our minds went into exile. What does that mean? There's a lot to say on that. But I've always thought one definition of that is that our basic sense of awareness, to notice that the miracle is all around us, that life is a miracle. Every last conversation we have with those we care about, those we love, that is mamish, a moment of a miracle. That is an amazing moment. The Haggadah is telling you, don't let these makos just pass. They weren't just these cute things for kids to throw frogs around at the table. These makas are miraculous moments and they happen in all of our lives. So the Haggadah is drawing you in to tell you, notice the details. The details are critical. People ask all the time, you think God cares if I turn on a light? You think God cares about this detail? The answer is God is telling you, your recognition, your awareness, you're paying attention to the details, that is part and parcel of what it means to be a Jew. It means to be aware. It means to be alert. It means to be thinking about what exactly is happening. Let's go to the next one. Moshe famously is basically left out of the Haggadah. He's left out of the Haggadah. I always try to think of one new Dvar Torah at the Seder itself. This one hit me at the Seder last year. Why is Moshe missing from the Haggadah? Who's missing from the Megillah? God is missing from the Megillah. Who's missing from the Haggadah? Moshe's basically missing from the Haggadah. What's the message? How do you find God in the Megillah? You have to have emunah that God is there in that story. How do you find Moshe in the Haggadah? You have to have emunah that we didn't get out just by flying. There was somebody who took us out. A very great man. A very great prophet. Just like you believe in God to find God in the Megillah, you must believe in the great prophet Moshe to find Moshe in the Haggadah. That's the line. Vayaminu b'Hashem uva Moshe avdo. In the Az Yashir, we say in the middle of our Haggadah, they believed in Hashem and Moshe Avdo. Then you're ready for the sea to split. You want the sea to split in your life? You needed both stages. You need to be able to see God when He is hidden. You need to be able to see the Torah, which is the extension of Moshe. You need to be able to see the Mosaic Law. You need to be able to see Moshe's hand, Moshe's prophetic imprint in everything you're doing, in everything you're learning, in everything you're studying. A cup of water is an opportunity for a bracha. Once you have V'yaminu b'Hashem uva Moshe Avdo, now we're ready for a sea to split. You need both of those emunas as you wade through the waters on Pesach night. Okay, so that idea I share with you. We're heading towards the end. This one hit me on the second night of Pesach last year. Dayenu is a funny word. Dayenu is a very funny word, that word Dayenu. What does it mean? I thought maybe, the word Dayenu appears almost nowhere else. What? By the way, it could be, as you say, Dai Kfar. In Hebrew we say Dai Kfar, enough. Right? So I was thinking, you know what the word means, maybe Dayenu? I thought it means, imagine in your mind's eye for a moment, you're standing at the edge of a cliff. Each stanza is us on the precipice. We're about to receive the Torah. We're about to leave Mitzrayim. That's Dayenu, right? It would have been enough if you just would have done this. It would have been enough if we just would have had that. It would have been enough if we would have done that, but not Shabbos. Every step of the way, we're always on the brink of something amazing, and we're saying it would have been okay. So I thought maybe what it is God reaching out His hand. Each time we're at the edge, afraid to take the next step, God is saying, Nu, Yad. Nu, give me your hand. That's the Dayenu. What's the word Dayenu? The Dayenu is a contraction of God saying, Yad, give me your hand. It's a Yad. Dayenu is Yad Nu. Come on, reach out, take it. You can make the next step. You can make the next step. You can make the jump from here to here. Because we always self-sabotage. We always say, I can't do the next level. Leave me alone at this. This is enough. I'll start with this and that's enough. Leave me alone at each step. The answer is no. Dayenu. We say it's enough. God turns it and says, you say Dayenu, that would have been enough. God says, no. Yad nu. Give me your hand. I'm reaching out my hand. Give me your hand. I'm going to help you take the next one. I'm going to help you take the next step. Next idea. This is from the Haggadah Zachreinu L'chaim. Einhorn, Einhorn. Kedushan. Rashbaz, Shlomo Ben Zeli. What? Yeah, those two. That's two. That's all you have to say there. Okay. This is from the Zachir L'chaim Haggadah. Walter gave me a couple svarim from Zaychik. From the altar of a student of the altar of Kelm and Slobodka. So he says the following idea. Matzah zu al shuma. What are we asking matzah, what's it for? What's the question? Matzah zu al shuma. We've been discussing the whole Mitzrayim story. Someone missed what the matzah is about. If you still have a question what matzah is about at this time in the Seder, you're really missing the boat. And I love this answer. It's so simple and it's awesome. Remember at the beginning of the Seder when we said halach ma'anya, here's the poor man's bread? Why is it the poor man's bread? Because the Egyptians needed us to go back to work. Here, Nem, take this quickly. We don't have time for fancy bread. Get back to work. That's the halach ma'anya. That's the poor man's bread. But something happened when we left Egypt. Suddenly the bread that was the poor man's slavery bread, suddenly became the bread of our freedom. Something changed. Says Rav Zaychik, that's the question of matzah al shuma. Wait a second, what's the matzah for? And the answer is, we're done with that whole slavery mentality. Leave the shackles behind. The ghetto Jew, leave him behind. We're out. We have come out of Egypt and we are riding high. Now the matzah is totally different. You want to talk about the matzah? Now we're ready to have a new conversation. Matzah al shuma. It totally changes and it's totally different. Here we go next. The Zerah Kodesh. It moves from Lechemoni to the matzah de minusa, the bread of faith. The bread that God had given us as a mitzvah, as a charge from God. Heading towards the end. This is from the Rav Shitzer, the Zera Kodesh, the holy Rav Shitzer. The Rav Shitzer started as the bouncer for the Choza of Lublin. He decided who got in to see the Choza of Lublin or not, and the Rav Shitzer started his own dynasty, very illustrious, very prestigious. There are many Rav Shitzer, wow, never stopped. There are many Rav Shitzer, family members today around from the Zera Kodesh. So the Rav Shitzer says like this. It says, "Zachor es hayom hazeh asher yatzatim mimitzrayim." Remember this day which you have left from Egypt. So he says, how do we say that? You should remember the day which you had left. Yatzatim, you left. There's something wrong grammatically. Remember on this day that when you have left Egypt, we're leaving now. It's happening now. It's that point. It was happening in real time. You should remember that you left. Says the Zera Kodesh, a yesod for the whole Haggadah, a yesod for all of Yontif. This is an idea I could see you using, David, all over the place. What is the idea? The idea is that the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let me say the question a little better. It says that you should remember on this day that you have left in the past Egypt. We didn't leave yet. We're collecting our stuff. We're on our way out. What do you mean you have left Egypt? The power of Yetzia, of leaving, was already there from the beginning of creation. The energy to come out, the energy to be able to get out of whatever was holding us back, was an energy that was there from the beginning of history. It's not one event called Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not one event in history called the Egypt experience. We go through it, each of us, in our own lives. Every single day, we have something that we need a Yetzia from. That's what God was saying, says the Rav Shitzer. I want you to remember on this day that I planted years ago the power of Yetzia, the power for you to get out from what is weighing you down, from what is crushing you. That's the vort from the Zera Kodesh. New Haggadah just came out this year. We're now rounding third base, coming home. I see desserts here. This, we're near the end. After this, Ein Maftir and Acher Dessert Afikomen. That's it after dessert. This is the new Haggadah by Rav Blech. Rav Blech, who is a... the Rav Blech, beautiful looking Haggadah, and put out, I think, by Koren. Rav Blech was originally the rabbi in Oceanside. He was a rabbi in Oceanside, then I think Fifth Avenue Synagogue. Is that right? Fifth Avenue. And he lives on Manhattan's west side. So he wants to say the following. He says, you're not, halachically speaking, according to Shulchan Aruch, you're technically allowed to drink between the first and second cup. You could also even drink, if you really want a cup badly, between the second and the third cups of wine. But it is asur medina, it is forbidden to drink between the third and the fourth cup of wine. You cannot drink between the third and the fourth cup of wine. And he says, why not? Why not? Very nice, Dvar Torah. What's happening by the third and the fourth cup?
Hallel.
The third and the fourth cup is Hallel and thank you, God. Praising and thank you, God. He says, you cannot interrupt that sequence. You cannot break that up with more drinking. Because the more drinking is going to pull you away from that recognition that it's not about me. Right now, it's about God. You're between the third and fourth cups. This is not a time for you to indulge. Your meal is over. You have basically stopped. All that's left is going to be a Korban Pesach, the Afikomen, and we have third and fourth cups. Nothing is allowed to take you away from that awareness right now. You have to stay in the moment. I think the takeaway, Dvar Torah, from here is that whatever you walk away with at the Seder, you must walk away with gratitude. You everything else, take it or maybe leave it. But not Hallel, not gratitude. Gratitude cannot be left behind at the Seder at all. That's the word of Rav Blech. Another Dvar Torah from Rabbi Yehuda Yeshua Chaim Tzidka. I never heard of him, but his Haggadah came out at the mitzvah store, so I picked it up. And this is the Dvar Torah I saw inside there. This is on the sandwich, right? We say Zecher Lamikdash Kehillel. We have the Hillel sandwich, where we wrap everything together. We put the Maror and the Charoset. We make the full sandwich. Now, according to the Chachamim, we're not supposed to have them all together. We have them separately. According to Hillel, we have them as one. And the question is, why? Why do we have them as one? And this is what he says. Efshar lahasbir. He says, you could say it's like this. Chachamim broke it down into two categories. There was suffering, there was pain. We ended that, we terminated that. Let's leave that part of our lives behind. Let's move now into the positive. Hillel is telling you something else. Hillel's telling you that it was that darkness that made you who you are today. It was the pain that you went through in your life that made you who you are today. It was your down moments and your struggles and your challenges that make you who you are. It's those opportunities that define you. Says Hillel, it must be wrapped together. Not wrapping it together is missing out on the point of life. If you cannot, if you're going to delete a portion of your life, they say Rav Soloveitchik, when someone came to him about becoming a Baal Tshuva and changing their name, they say Rav Soloveitchik always said, great, change your name, but keep your old name still in there. Because the only way you got to who you were today is because part of what was in your past got you there. Either you had a rebellious fighting spirit, or whatever negative event, traumatic event was the catalyst, it brought you to where you were today. You cannot delete that. You cannot reject that.
What part of the sandwich is representative of the...
The maror. The maror is the korach. Maror in the sandwich. The darkness, the pain, along with the sweet. Whether the charoset is the sweet, however, what else you're putting in the sandwich. The matzah, the positive. You're wrapping it together.
But the matzah is still... So
and the matzah has both, by the way. No, Tav sings, the matzah has both. Right. The matzah lechemoni and its freedom.
And the chorosis is represents...
The blood.
The blood.
Everything is wrapped together, has both. The gnus is always still in there. The wine is red blood, but you're reclining and enjoying. The whole Seder is like Hillel. The whole Seder, everything is always in there. There is some bracha. In there, there is some bracha. We head now to the benching. We're heading now to the mamish, the end of the Seder. Here we go, the end of the Seder. I love this one. I saw this from Rav Reisman. Rav Reisman is one of the biggest shirim in the world. He gives a Tanakh shir, Motzei Shabbos, so he gets close to 1,000 people. Close to 1,000 people. Rabbi Reisman says the following. No, this is not the other. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. Okay. He says, what are you supposed to do for children on Pesach to get them excited, according to the Shulchan Aruch? Anybody know? What does it say specifically? Not candies?
Sweet things.
Nuts. You give them nuts to play with. Give them some, you know, egozim, nuts. Great question Rav Reisman asked. Rosh Hashanah, everybody's making a big deal about putting away the nuts because nut in gematria, egos is chet. Suddenly on Pesach, break it out. Nobody cares. It's okay. Give the kids all the egozim they want. What's going on? Says Rav Reisman, when we open up our doors of Shvach HaMoscha, pour out your wrath, when we open up the doors of the Seder, it's Leil Shimurim. We're not afraid tonight. We don't have to be those Jews who need to be so afraid of our own skin that we need to be worried the nut may lead to an Avera. Because we had the nut, we may have done the sin. On Pesach night, we're confident in our Muna. We're confident in our ability to keep Halacha. On Pesach night, we're not afraid of the slippery slope. We're not afraid where it may lead, where it may go. Yes?
Is that also why we might allow this quote-unquote stealing of the Avigdor?
Say again? Oh, because we're not afraid that someone might learn from that. That's finally the answer of the shir. That's great. We had a shir this other week with Speaker Reisman. Rav Reisman answered Speaker Reisman. That's good. Speaker Reisman said, why would we have something that teach the kids how to steal? And he raised it as a challenge, teaching the kids how to steal. The answer to the kasha is this one. Great, David. The answer to the kasha is, because on this night we're not afraid of slippery slope. It's Leil Shimurim. The kids are guarded from turning around and taking something in a negative way. They know to take it in the spirit that it is. We close with two more Divrei Torah, and we're done for the night. Number 33 and number 34, respectively. Oh, I have like 37. There's so many more. I'll give it for next year. Okay. So, here we go. It says in the Hallel. It says in the Hallel that I'll say it like this. We'll go to Manishtana. So you can use this for Manishtana, because people are done by Hallel a little bit. You can use it by both. By Manishtana, right? Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. How is this night different than all other nights? So I heard this Dvar Torah. Listen to this. It's amazing. In the Haggadah we say, min hametzar karatiya. That you, God, I called out from my straits, from my... What does it mean? Minha Meitzar. What's Meitzar? Meitzar's Mitzrayim. Meitzar's Mitzrayim. From my narrowness, my constriction, my stress, God, I called out to you. What's the answer? Anani b'merchav ko. Look at the translations in your Haggadah. It'll say, and God answered you with blessing, or God answered you positively. That's not what it means. Anani b'merchav ko. Merchav means to open you up. On Pesach night, when you come in with stress, duress in your life, whatever it is, Anani b'merchav ko, God, answer me with opening me up. Let me see there's so much more to life. There's so much more out there. Let me experience, let me feel again. Let me enjoy, let me know what life is all supposed to be and what life is supposed to be about. I close every year, I usually close with the Dvar Torah from my daughter, Esti Einhorn, and this time we close it out in Lashona Habab Yerushalayim. So Esti Einhorn asked me the following. Saying Lashana Haba Birushalayim is a phrase as though we're about to lose hope. Right? It sounds like it's conjecturing, uh-oh, they're about to lose hope. Quickly, let's sing Lashana Haba Birushalayim. Right? It's an affirmation. That's what it is. Lashana Haba, you scream it because someone may not believe it. Someone may walk out of the Seder not believing it. That was her question. Why we say Lashana Haba Birushalayim? It's as though you would leave the Seder not walking out affirmed. And this was her answer. We told the Chacham, Ein Maftir in Acher HaPesach Afikomen. After the Afikomen, there's nothing else. It's over. Just stop there. You know what that means, just stop there? The fear is that maybe this is all there is. Maybe because I have to stop right after the Korban Pesach and the Afikomen. Remember, the Korban Pesach was not eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. It was eaten at home. And maybe that's all there is. Maybe that's as good as it gets. Comes the Baal Haggadah and says, for right now, Ein maftir in achar Pesach afikomen. For right now, the best you're going to do is the meals that you have in your homes behind closed doors. For right now, the best you're going to have to do is some mitzvahs that are durabanon at best, deraisa maybe not. You're going to have some cups of wine. But I want you to know, it's going to get better than this. Lashana haba b'Yerushalayim. It doesn't end there. For tonight, it ends with Ein maftir in achar Pesach afikomen. Tonight, it ends with just there. And we stop ad kan. But I want you to know the Jewish story is about to unfold in the most beautiful way, and the real story is going to continue, and that's the vort, and why we all have to sing at the end of the Seder, Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Mirtz Hashem, may we be able to turn our Sedarim into a Chefetz de Kedusha, and be able to celebrate everyone together next year with the Mashiach together in Yerushalayim.
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank Stefan from Trattoria Natalie. Taking care of this, so don't show up. Also, anyone wanted to give tzedakah before Pesach, a great way is these great cards. These are amazing. You scratch the cards. Whatever number between 1 and 613 is what you give. It could be $5. It could be 612. 612 is already taken. It could be 609. You don't know what it is. And the bottom gets taken off as an entry to win a Sefer Torah in your honor, given to wherever you want. No questions asked. What kind of tzedakah? You ever get something like, there's never a payoff like that in tzedakah. That's only happening here tonight at Trattoria Natalie. Okay. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, yes, let's all daven a marav now. Let's do a marav. Let's not leave it at a marav. Now the chiyuv, yeah. Fishman, you're a chiyuv.
Thank you.
You might have to give 612, you don't know what you're going to get.
What?
It might be $1, it might be 612.
Yes.